Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
This is the start of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, and we this morning are going to talk about that. Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project around here. Andy, good to have you with us this morning. Good morning. Good
morning, Ted.
And Leslie Leahy is here this morning, Kaylee's mom. A year ago today, we met Kaylee, and Leslie, I can't tell you, it had to be difficult for you to even agree to do this, to come in this morning, but thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you, and it's a real honor to be here today.
We will never forget that day, and we'll talk a little bit about that show. You brought in though two pictures of Kaylee. One is the Kaylee that we all met last year without the hair with chemo, but then is that her senior picture with hair?
Yep, it is. Yeah, long hair and just very vibrant, and she had just been diagnosed, and we knew her hair would not last very long because she was going to go into chemo really quickly. So a friend of mine is a photographer, and he took pictures of Kaylee and her girlfriends, and it's just a great memory. It's a real contrast, but it's Kaylee both pictures.
Oh, it is. Yeah. No, and you can see the strong spirit in both in both pictures.
And that smile. Oh, I miss that smile.
Yes.
Andy, this has been in talking with Leslie when and Kaylee was her daughter, but boy, you were really close with her. And that day you were in here, you could tell that you two were a kindred spirit.
Yeah, we had bonded. It's interesting because her first cancer, I really didn't get to know the family all that well. And I don't know what suddenly made it happen, but I started spending so much time with Kaylee. I'd go to the regional cancer center, and we just clicked, you know, and she was such a... Oh, an amazing kid, but she wasn't a kid is the thing.
Mm-hmm. That was it, the yeah. growth. She was yeah. she was a young woman, a senior, and she had a great lead volunteer through FGP and you know, took care of everything that we needed. And we were going to beat that first cancer.
And we did.
And then the next one came upon us, and like I was sitting at my computer going, wow, could I re-up an FGP?
Yeah, and then when I got the application, you know, the thoughts that went through my head, I'll never forget. I was like, okay, it's April. Leslie wouldn't play an April Fool's joke on me. Like, I couldn't process it. I was like, There's no way. Because Kaylee was actually the first child who we supported who had either a recurrence or she had a secondary cancer, but we had never experienced that before. So it was really... For me personally, emotionally, it was kind of rocked me. I was like, wait a minute. You know, I felt like as an organization, we had sort of not experienced that. Like, you know, we'd been, I don't know, padded from it. It hadn't
Blessed.
Come. Blessed, yeah. And then suddenly it was like, oh, gosh. And I just, you know, so much with Kaylee's second cancer was like that. I remember thinking when... you know, we had implemented the new program where we support families who are bereaved and at the end of life and everything. And I remember... this moment where I realized that Kaylee's family would be the first one that we used that program on. Not that I would ever want it to be any kid, but I just remember thinking like, no, it can't be Kaylee, you know,
yeah.
And because she and I had grown really close. But with that, you know, I think some of it with her, she was very intentional, I think, in a lot of what she did. I think she intentionally... made it so that Leslie and I would become very close friends. I mean, I think it was a very definite, it was intentional. I mean, do you agree?
I will agree.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, I think she sort of, I remember the day she decided, okay, I'm done with treatment. And the next day she and I went to lunch and she shared that with me. And she said, you know, how about if you come over tonight? And I said, you know, I don't think so. Like, I feel like, you know, this is probably a really kind of personal, private time for your family. And she said, well, I'm going to talk to my mom and I'll let you know. And I got a text from her, okay, come on over. You're coming over tonight. And I think it was a lot of that along from, you know, August until she died in January. There was a lot of very intentional placing me with her family. And I think in her mind, she was doing it so that I would be there for her family. But I don't know that she ever had any idea what a gift she gave me by bringing me into her family. And, you know.
Well, this being Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, there are it's a great time just to focus on. And just the awfulness of pediatric cancer. Leslie, I'm sure you can remember probably the first day that she came to you and said, I'm not feeling well. And you never think that this is going to be, you know, the diagnosis. And unfortunately, a lot of families this month and in ensuing months around here deal with this.
Yes, it's a rude awakening. And you think, wow, how did you miss it? And how did you miss that pain? But to me, you know, everything worked out in the spirit of she's going to get better. That's what we all thought the whole time. When mm-hmm. she got diagnosed, we have that positive outlook. And I think that served us well. But a lot of people they come to me and say, my daughter has a backache. Should I get an X-ray?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you know, you talk to your pediatrician. But right. Yeah, you're never ready for it. But in the pediatric world, there's so much love. There's the children's hospitals. It's unlike any hospital. Mm-hmm. So they're there, very nurturing. It's a great environment for a young person to be in and a family. And it helps you get through such awful times.
I know she was up in D.C. for a long time. And you all were making the trips up there, mm-hmm. and it was when the cancer came back. Was it the same? Was it it was a different type of cancer, wasn't it? The second time.
Yeah, the cancer the second time was as a result of the treatments from the first cancer. They call it treatment induced AML. So we knew it was hard to beat, but they had some ideas, and Kaylee pursued them. So Kaylee was 18 at that time. So she started as a 16-year-old, where we could make all those decisions. And as an 18-year-old, she was making a lot of the decisions with the help of us, with our guidance, and the doctors and the nurses. So, yeah.
And I remember one of the things about the secondary cancer being caused by the treatment from the first, mm-hmm. Kaylee was reluctant to talk about that on the radio because we talked about it on the way over, and she said, I don't want to scare people. You know, I think she was worried that she'd be mm-hmm. squashing the hope of people listening, going, we're going to get through this, or someone who had just beat the cancer, and then suddenly the reality that... But it could be caused. And then she did share it during the show. But I remember she was more reluctant to share that than she was to share that she had decided to stop treatment. You know, like that was her quandary. Like, do I share that piece of it? Because that is scary. You know, I mean, but she said she was always waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yeah, and they told us early on it was 1 in 100 that she could get a recurring cancer. And that just, you know, we didn't even think about that. But she had. She had always thought about that.
Yeah,
unbeknownst to us.
And I just think about the hope that comes with, you know, being filled with hope that we're going to beat this and all those things. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. For some reason, hope has been kind of going round and round in my head, because I know that for Kaylee, she talked about hope and how sometimes hope was really hard. You know, it was hope that it was going to be okay. But I remember being in your living room, I think two or three days after you'd gotten the leukemia diagnosis. And just all the hope, and I think that hope carries you, you know? I mean, it was like, oh, we just have to do this, and then we're getting a bone marrow transplant, and bam, we're great. And, I mean, I think everyone held on to that for so long. You know, the hope is so important. Even if the outcome is unfortunate, the hope carries you through, I think, for those months when it's really tough. Really tough.
Boy, and her outlook, even when she shared how she had made the decision that she'd gone far enough and that she wanted to spend what time was left with her family and friends, just how she carried herself, I just sat here and couldn't believe the conversation we were having. Because, Andy, you had told me right before we went on the air that she right. did this decision, and she'd said, I'm willing to talk about
mm-hmm.
it. And I kept thinking, how do I ask you this? And she just jumped right in and said,
yeah.
this is what I've done. This is why I've done it. And she had a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was really, well, you know, you think about it. And one of the things she said was she liked the idea of sort of giving the sharing what was going on so that other parents and other people could understand how hard it was. Because really, you can watch, just like for me, I can watch as many families as I have go through pediatric cancer treatment and then the loss of a child, but I really have no idea. I mean, I just don't. I mean, I've got a good idea that it looks like it's pretty rough, but I've not been in it. But her being able to speak for all of those people and all of those kids who don't get to make the decisions, and then for me on the outside looking in to watch Leslie and John give her the ability to make those choices and to respect them was life lessons for me as a parent, for sure. You know, because that isn't an easy choice. It's not an easy thing, you know, because I'm sure wanting to step in and go, oh, hang on, no, you're not done. But giving her the ability to make that choice about her own life was just amazing. Just amazing.
Leslie, I kept thinking through that whole interview. I kept thinking of you and John, and just thinking your family's got to be thinking, stop, don't say this.
Right.
You know, there's still one more treatment we can try.
Yes, her brother was a perfect match for a bone marrow transplant. So we felt there we have it. We've got this ace in the hole. But she knew she had to be a certain health to make the bone marrow transplant more successful. And she knew how hard she'd seen what a bone marrow transplant is.
Yeah, that really scared her a lot. The prospect of that was really daunting for her.
And I think a younger person wouldn't see that, and they would, and their parents would say, "Yeah, let's do it," and it could have been successful. But we don't look at the could have been. But we had a lot of hope. Hope is definitely what carried us through.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and your hope is contagious. Like, I think about sitting, like, I came to their house that day, and I remember thinking, like, all right, Andy, pull it together, because you can't be weepy. And then just the Leslie's, you know, and Kaylee's both, like, we've got this, you know, just totally positive and upbeat. And I was like, we've got this, you know, like, lots of hope. And, but I think the worst part about hope is when you realize that the hope hasn't carried you to where you thought it would. And I remember kind of that moment when I realized that with Kaylee, like, it was just, it always makes me wonder, like, is it better to go without hope? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, would this have been less jarring if I had just thought all along the end result rather than being so hopeful for what the future looked like for her? But I guess you can't live like that.
Well, you can't, but I think of all the good things that happened in the bone marrow transplant was the goal, and so many people became the bone marrow
registry.
In fact, one of Kaylee's friends just got called to be, she's a match. So there is, Kaylee always saw the positive that was happening,
right?
The people that donated blood, and we're going to be doing a blood drive,
in her honor.
You know, all these things are for that hope,
yes,
for the children and the adults that can make it through.
Yeah, and I think all the things that are being done in her honor are huge, but they're also part of who she was. I mean, she loved that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She loved giving back, and she was just really, really special.
I don't want to get into that, because you have the scholarship, and there's a work day, and there is a lot to talk about, and we're here to talk about Kaylee and also celebrate her life and talk about the fantastic work that the Fairy Godmother Project provides to families in this area. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. There's also a great Facebook page, and we are going to continue to talk about the Fairy Godmother Project. This morning, Andy McConnell here, Leslie Leahy, more in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shoup.
Andy McConnell is here. Leslie Leahy here. We are talking about the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy, did I see on your, because I just glanced at your Facebook page this morning, that there is a, this is the start of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, and there's a walk
tonight
at Old Mill Park.
Yep. We have combined forces with two other local nonprofits, Sly Strong Six and Strong for Dom, and we're working together. Our campaign is called the Heart of Gold Campaign. So what we're trying to do, our goal is, you know, we're not looking to raise money or anything, just awareness. The more people that know about pediatric cancer, obviously, the more impact it can have long term in terms of research, helping the families, all of those things that are so important. And our community has grown in their awareness of pediatric cancer, but there's still a long way to go, I believe. So tonight we're going to start off with everyone that goes can sign a big banner that says Heart of Gold on it, and we're going to have a butterfly release in honor of all the children who have lost their lives to pediatric cancer. And we're just going to take kind of a short, but it'll be about a mile walk total tonight. So starts at 7, but you can go as early as 6:30 at Old Mill Park.
So it's Old Mill Park, and we'll give that information again at the end. And again, if you want to keep up with things, or if you know of someone, or you find yourself ever in this situation, fairygodmotherproject.org is the website, and also you're on Facebook. Leslie, I know when my family got involved in this, up until my son was diagnosed, I really didn't know many people who had ever gone through this. And all of a sudden, you become part of a kind of a group that you never expected to be, and you find that it's unfortunately a bigger group than you ever imagined.
Oh yes, in fact, so here in Fredericksburg, I felt like we were the only ones. So then when you go to Children's National Medical Center, you realize you're just one in a million. There's just so many out there, and then you feel really fortunate that you have a facility that's so highly ranked.
Absolutely.
And it's so good. So that in itself was a blessing, but quickly you start making those become some of your new friends. But together you can kind of see what's worked, and maybe a lot of the kids are on similar treatments, and you actually just start making the most of your life, your new life, and just trying to, if the goal is to beat it, and that's what you're going to do. So, and that was always kind of our philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know a lot of families talk about how after the child's done with treatment, there's a real sense of loneliness. There's a real sense of confusion. They've been a cancer family, quote unquote, for so long, and then suddenly they're not, and they don't really want to be anymore, but they sort of don't know where they fit because they've had these experiences that sometimes are years long that have changed them as a family and changed them as individuals, and they aren't really sure where they fit back in their kind of their life that was there. Their friends don't really get it. We've had a lot of, talked with one mom about how every time it's time for a new scan to see if the child is still cancer-free, and she gets a lot of upset and a lot of anxiety, and her friends have kind of grown impatient with it. Sort of like, give me a break, she's in remission. And it's like, well, no, they're always waiting for, because it could come back, you know? And that's the thing that is really upsetting, is the reality that it doesn't ever really go away, you know. We have a cancer parent advisory board that helps me make lots of decisions because I really don't know. I just kind of go with my gut. But and we had a meeting a couple months ago that was really, really valuable and really interesting to listen to. But the majority of the parents there were bereaved parents, and then we had one couple that their child's a survivor. And the bereaved parents, they have an end to their situation. And it was interesting because it really kind of opened up the eyes as this one mom talked, and she just said, talked about how stressful it is to go every 3 months or every 6 months and not knowing. And one of the moms who's bereaved said, wow, I hadn't thought about that for you. It just keeps going and going. I know the end of my story. You don't. And I thought, wow. And first of all, for that mom to be that enlightened to the fact that, that's pretty rough too. Yes, your child's here. Yes, your child survived. But you're always sort of waiting and hoping it doesn't come back. That hope, it just keeps coming up. But the reality is it could, and that's pretty rough on a family. And you know that because you know the worst case scenario then. It didn't even come back. It was, I remember the celebration for Kaylee, like, oh, she's cancer-free, no Ewings. And then they did blood work and it was leukemia. And it was like this celebration got kind of crushed within a few days.
Oh, so it was a few days. I was going to ask you how long it was, because I know that when you finish the treatment, we had this big backyard party.
Oh, yeah. It was fabulous. And we, she had many months.
She was great for months.
From June until April.
April, yeah.
So we had many months of really great time. So, but it was, just getting that regular checkup. She'd been sick in February at school, and a blood test was sent to Children's, and they saw an elevated, they call them blasts, and that was kind of the telltale sign of AML, and it's diagnosed, they said, could she come in today? And I said, oh, this was Children's, and she was at UVA at the time. And I said, well, let's see if I can get her out of class. And so the next day we went in, and that was, you know, a different chapter in our life had begun. So, but
and that's the thing I remember marveling with her when we sat in here a year ago, the fact that she dealt with this in high school, still got into UVA, went to UVA, you got diagnosed again, and, you know, still kept trying to go, which means she went as far as she could.
Yeah, she just was 3 weeks shy of finishing her first year. So she, you know, she made a lot of impact at UVA, and has a great community of people that are still our friends.
Yeah.
And that's where her story is just so terrific, that she didn't just get this and go into a shell. She used every ounce she could to try to impact people, and even to get you. You know, you talked earlier about, you know, her wanting you two to be come close, and just a lot of things she put into place, knowingly or unknowingly, and just had an impact.
Yeah. She had constant impact. I mean, I was saying to Leslie this morning that one of the things that I do in my head all the time is I always look back, like, what was I doing a year ago? What was I doing 2 years ago? Just sort of like, it's a personal growth gauge that I do. And so I said to Leslie, I woke up this morning and I was like, what was I doing? And I was like, oh, I was with Kaylee. But I think about this, the time from August until January, and I mean, she, and I know that she had this impact on most people that she interacted with, but she changed me as a person. She gave me a, she had an amazing way of making you feel very loved and so important and so special. And that's not something that everybody can do. I mean, there's so many little things. Like, I've held on to every text message she and I ever exchanged, and they will be there forever. I don't care if I have to screenshot every one. But she would say things like, one time I went to their house for Thanksgiving, and I said, you know, it means so much to me that your family is including me. And she wrote back and she said, but you are family. And I mean, I remember I was like, oh, geez, I need to get a grip. You know, like, just, she just had this way of saying exactly what was on her mind and her heart, and whether it was great or it wasn't. But in doing that, she taught people that it was okay to be vulnerable. It was okay to share. It was okay to express that you love people. And it really, you know, over the long term, I feel her lessons in my everyday. And I feel like everybody that I know that met her feels that same thing, which is just amazing.
And we saw that with how the community reacted to her wish. I want to talk about that. I want to talk with you, Leslie, when we come back, about this work day coming up, the scholarship that you've set up. And we want to talk about the work of the Fairy Godmother Project and how people can get involved with that. Andy McConnell here, Leslie Lay here. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here. Leslie Leahy is here. We're talking about the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. And how do you find out, Andy, when do families contact you? Do friends of families contact you? Is that basically how it goes, if someone will know and let you know about someone?
Yeah, that's usually how it works. Definitely word of mouth has increased in our area about us, which is great. It's at the point now where it seems like the minute someone's diagnosed, they say, oh, you need to reach out to Fairy Godmother Project. We also have kind of a direct line to the hospital down in Richmond. They're very helpful. I very quickly, if the family gives me permission, I'm able to contact them and immediately get a confirmation of treatment. So we usually are able to start services within about 24 hours, which is great. Example, in Leslie's case, I was at something for the Community Give a couple years ago, sitting next to someone who worked for another organization. She said, well, what do you do? And I told her, and she said, oh, I have a friend. And I said, oh, well, please pass the information on. And I think I met Leslie the next day. Yes. So we try and do it as quickly as we possibly can, because, you know, why not get it going and support them? But it's usually word of mouth at this point. Facebook, I get lots of messages like from other areas saying, do you support families in this area? And the family just fills out an application online, and then we just need a confirmation of treatment from directly from the oncologist, and then we just get started. So,
well, I've every time you're here, I say it about what you provide locally is just fantastic, because when we dealt with things in the early 2000s, there was Ask in Richmond, there was Camp Fantastic, and things in the Winchester area that helped us, but. Mm-hmm. Boy, I mean, you provide a number of just real practical things to families.
Yeah, we're all about practical. I think because I'm sort of, you know, I think about what would I need help with? And that's what I would need help with, those just day-to-day things. But then we also try and add in the emotional support piece for the families that are receptive to it, getting to know the family, supporting them. We just recently added something called Adopt a Family, where our volunteers can... are matched with a family, and they just send them a little bit of a care package every month. And it's amazing how much the families enjoy it, but then also how much the volunteers are enjoying it. You know, it's giving them a real sense of accomplishment, a real, you know, and so it's been great. We added on the bereaved component too. So we have the bereaved families, and then any family that's bereaved, this has been bereaved this year. We have three families who've had a child die. They also are getting the adoptive family. So the Leahys have someone named Lori who is their person, and she's just taking great care. I don't know if you should share. It might make everyone jealous. But yeah, I mean, Lori's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. She sent a really beautiful note, and then this lovely care package came in a basket, and we're all gluten-free, so I'm sure that was a challenge, but it was...
She was concerned about them being empty nesters, so yes. She wanted to give them a little something right when John went to college.
I haven't met her. I'm going to be meeting her at some point. We're going to have a face-to-face, but right now we're, you know, the social media, thank goodness for that.
Yes, yeah. And so that component is helpful, I think, all around. It helps the families feel a little bit of extra love, and then also makes the volunteers feel like they're impacting the families more directly. Because when we put it up on our Facebook page for our volunteers, I mean, the families immediately, I mean, it took like not even 2 days for all of the families to be adopted. So it was, and then I had other people messaging me like, I really want a family. I mean, we even have a volunteer who she started volunteering for us in 2011, moved to Texas, and now lives in North Carolina and continues to volunteer for us from a distance. And she just adopted a family, and she's just so happy to be able to be involved still with the organization, even from afar. So that's really very nice.
And you can do more if people get involved.
Absolutely.
Because that's one of the components here that what you do, you rely on the community,
mm-hmm.
volunteers and funds.
Yes, absolutely. We've been really fortunate. I mean, Fredericksburg is extremely generous. And, you know, I've never started a nonprofit anywhere else, so I don't know if everywhere's like this, but I sort of think it's unique to Fredericksburg. The generosity is absolutely amazing. I mean, people have no issue with donating their time, their money to support our organization, which is really obviously very helpful. And it allows us to change things and add things. I'm feeling more and more like the bereavement component of our programming. We're really trying to up that a lot. You know, we provide support when the child goes into hospice, financial support, and then we also can help with the funeral financially. But then also Leslie's attended some of the stuff we've done, tried to do parent nights out. So we did a paint night at Studio A. Pam Hicks is an artist, new artist downtown, and she donates her space and the canvases and the paint and everything for our families to paint. So we did a mom's night, and then we did a couple's night. And then this month we aren't doing anything because we essentially are doing the Stardust Ball, because the majority of our families are coming to that. And I think it's special and important for the parents to not feel alone, to, you know, be able to sit next to somebody, not necessarily sit and talk about their child, but just know, okay, they get it. They know what it's like to feel this magnitude of a loss. And then I try and I also connect one of our families. The child died in July. And so I got together with another mom whose son of the same age died in February and got them together for breakfast and trying to make that connection. And we've done lunch and I'm going to start doing walks with them, just trying to get them out, exercising healthy stuff. And then also being able to just have that time if they want to talk about their kids. And we're trying. We applied for a couple grants with applied for one grant with hospice support care at Mary Washington that we're hoping we'll get that will give us some opportunities to do something especially specifically for pediatric cancer families in the community who are bereaved.
Well, in just the short amount of time, because when I first met you, you had the Lily story.
Yeah,
but
Lily.
You had been with Lily as she died, and then with Kaylee.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have personally had a family member deal with this, but boy, you have.
I've seen it from an interesting perspective,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'll always credit Melanie, Lily's mom, with giving me that opportunity. You know, I mean, she had a vision to see that if she allowed me to see what that looked like, that I could, therefore, she knew that I would do something about it. She knew that I would say, okay, this is a really difficult time for families. We need to do more. And that was sort of her vision. And in doing that, she gave me so many amazing gifts. You know, one of them was getting to know Lily, who was super sassy. But then being able to help families. I mean, I've done things that I never imagined I would do for families. And I've developed a rapport with a local funeral director, which also, in all my years, I never imagined that
yeah.
I would, you know, have this lovely connection with Todd Gerace. But Todd is so wonderful, so, so great. We're actually honoring him this year at the Stardust Ball. But he just does really great things for our families. He really takes good care of them. He's very gentle and kind at a time that is just brutal. And so having that relationship helps, I think, you could probably speak to this, helps the families so that they don't have to be doing all the things that they don't have to be going to the funeral home for certain things. And I don't know.
Oh, you made everything so easy.
Well, and I always felt like, Andy, that when you had told me the Lily story and I saw everything with Kaylee, I just thought Lily kind of got you ready.
Yeah.
For Kaylee. And that it all just built. Well, when we talk about Kaylee, Leslie, I just, you know, about how she was so involved in the community and right up all the way. I mean, she was active the whole way through. And that really showed with when she was on this program right about this time when we were talking, and I kind of just thought, I don't know what else to ask her. And I just had said, you know, what do you hope to do? And then when she talked about wanting to see the Rockies. And I remember thinking at that moment, oh, we can make that happen.
Yeah. And I think I said something like, who has a plane? I said something like ridiculous like that.
Right. And so it went from there to about a half hour after that show ended. I remember talking with our boss here, Mark Bass, and he said, I bet we could put something together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just between him and Jennifer Reynolds, sort of, was the point person. It came together in like 2 days.
Yep,
it was all
well,
taken together.
It was 24 hours. You swear to that. So
I think
let's say 24
could have,
hours. But yeah, maybe
it was
2 days.
It was
quick.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
and that was just, and that you talk about this community.
Oh,
and
amazing.
So many people heard that show or saw the write-up about it, and it, just the shares and the things that on Facebook, we couldn't get over it. And a lot of it was Kaylee.
Well, that's the thing that I think is that sometimes, you know, it's easy to say, well, the community is so great. The community is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I think about, and I'm going to get all emotional about this, but when I think about the number of people that are now involved with Fairy Godmother Project because of Kaylee and because of the Leahys, that isn't typical. And Kaylee said to me after the show, I still have the text, Fairy Godmother Project's going to blow up. And I was like, well, we'll see, you know. And after she passed, I realized I've slowly more and more how true that is. And it so much stems from her. For like a great example is she had a huge impact on Jack Hyland, who owns J. Bryan's Tap Room. You know, he just really thought she was just such a special kid. And as a result, they've always been involved because I've known Jack for years, but they've gotten more and more involved. I mean, they're one of our biggest sponsors this year for the ball. You know, I mean, they're talking about putting on an event for us in October. But more and more involved, and so many of the things start from her. You know, I could go on and on. Kit McFarland, who owns Dragonfly Yoga, I mean, she loved Kaylee. And she and I have become friends, and I always think about that. And I think, wow, that's a gift that Kaylee has given me, is Kit, you know? And then also she supports Fairy Godmother Project. We'd never had her donate before, not for any other reason. We probably just didn't ask, but she had us be the beneficiary 1 month, and we got, you know, a couple $100 from them, and then they donated to the ball. And there's just so many. It's like this ripple effect that starts with her that has impacted us. The number of people that donated in her honor after she passed, I mean, I can't even articulate the amount. And
if I could chime in, like, the local high school, James Monroe High School, the whole city school community. Those, everyone you talk about as adults, it's about, you know, bringing awareness to our young people that this can happen, that, you know, they can't even believe happened.
Right.
But Kaylee walked the halls of James JAM.
And boy, did she have an impact on those kids.
Yes, and JAM has been amazing. They've had a number of fundraisers.
They had one to benefit us, which is wonderful, yeah.
GP. And they also are now working on a service scholarship. We've already dispersed it once, and getting ready to do a day of service, which is like a first ever for us, and having every blood drive, getting the young people involved.
The young people is key. And the thing about if Kaylee wasn't the person she was, it wouldn't have had that impact. I had the privilege, along with Kaylee's Aunt Margaret or Aunt Margaret, of interviewing the kids who applied for the scholarship and sitting with these kids and realizing that every one of them were truly impacted by her. It wasn't just like, I'm going to apply for the scholarship because I need the money. It was like she had touched them in one way or another. And it wasn't even necessarily that they personally really knew her, but they had somehow, some way had an interaction with her that was impactful. And you think about that and you think about, I think about it because I know the worry is, you know, how do you keep this kind of thing going? And I often think that I only spoke to four kids that day, but every one of them was impacted enough that while we may not see it, she will be continuing that ripple effect. You know, the one girl very involved with St. Jude's and really great kid, and Kaylee had really impacted her personally. And you think about this, she'll carry that forever, you know? And I mean, it's hard, I think, as parents, they want it to be more tangible. They want it to be, but I think about even my own kids. My kids will be, you know, 80 years old, and they'll be talking about Kaylee. I mean, they will be. Like, the other day, I had my bracelet on that Kaylee made, and Evie said, oh, I love that bracelet. I love the sound it makes. And I said, well, I love it because Kaylee made it for me. And she goes, oh, Mom, please don't cry. And I said, I won't. You know, I was like, come on. But, you know, they'll always remember, you know, the impact she had is so long-term. And I think it's a great life lesson, not just in terms of pediatric cancer, but for everybody. Like,
yes.
What's your legacy? Okay, you die tomorrow. Are people going to be talking about you every day? Because I don't have a day that goes by that I'm not talking about Kaylee. Mm-hmm. And don't we all want to be that person? Don't we all want to be the person that impacts people for years and years to come? I mean, I certainly would like to be, but, you know.
No, I told you, Leslie, I think the last time you were here, that day when you had a walk at JAM this spring, and I walked a couple laps with Coach Rich Serbe, and he was having physical problems at the time and was just limping along, and he said, I had to come over here, I had to do this, because she was that unique of a girl.
Yeah, well, she was. You know, I'm sure all your what would we call it, the people that you support,
FGP kids, we'll call them
FGP kids. You know, they're all special. But they're all so little. So many of them are little.
They don't have a voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I just kind of wonder how I could have bottled Kaylee's, you know, what she thought of, how she managed herself through all this, and could have written a book and could have shared it. But I think through these different programs, through the scholarship, through blood drive awareness, through Be the
Absolutely.
Match, you know, it's her legacy is happening.
It's an amazing legacy.
And I think between the two of you have really carried on, and especially Leslie, you and John just are out there in the community and just just people to be in, and a family to be admired. We got to take a break. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. We'll talk a little bit more about the service scholarship and wrap it up with Andy McConnell and Leslie Lay here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell and Leslie Leahy here this morning. The Fairy Godmother Project are focused along with the Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month that begins today. It's the month of September. If you see yellow ribbons around, that is why you're seeing them. And there's a walk tonight,
yes,
Andy, at Old Mill Park, 7 o'clock.
Yep. Be there as early as 6:30. We start at 7.
Okay. Yeah. There is that, and you mentioned the Stardust Ball. That was sold out long ago.
Long ago. But we are auctioning the last table of eight, and the it ends today at noon. So you can just send an email to Andy, A-N-D-I-E, at fairygodmotherproject.org with your bid. It's a blind bidding, but I will say that the bids are up to $850 for the table of eight. So if you want it, you better bid, because we've got a couple people that are really interested.
Okay. Again, the website or the email.
Andy at fairygodmotherproject.org.
I saw the Andy and I saw the IE on it, and I thought, I hope that that's a misprint, because I think for the last year I have been spelling your name wrong.
That's okay. I forgive you.
I don't think I've ever included
I've been
an
spelling
e.
yours wrong too.
Okay. Yeah. Just to get him back. he'll notice and then he'll change it. Leslie, we've talked about the scholarship. How can people find out more about that, about as far as giving or getting involved? Because there's lots of opportunities.
Well, since your August show, we've put together a website, Kaylee Leahy Service Scholarship. Weebly.com. So Kaylee is spelled the Irish C-E-I-L-I, and we're Leahy L-E-A-H-Y. And that is where you can go, and you could either donate for the scholarship, or you can you say, I've got things that need to be done on October 29th, or you can volunteer to be a helper that day.
And again, it's October 29th is a service day, and that's going to be stuff in the city, I guess.
Yeah, stuff in the city. Yeah.
And give that website one more time, and we'll put this on Facebook, too.
Kaylee Leahy Service Scholarship. I say it's Weebly. Mm-hmm. Weebly.com. So that's it's brand new, but it just went live last night, so it's exciting.
Well, I met Kaylee first, and then I met you after you came back from the trip, and then we have you've been on now a couple of times, and like I said, it just how you've been so upfront and have carried on her legacy has been just both of you has been terrific.
Well, it's a way to constantly remember our daughter and. Mm. And to be involved in the community, it's a great icebreaker to say I'm Kaylee's mom.
Right. And I think it helps with grief.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to be able to – people – the thing that's great to me, we went out for my birthday last week, and a friend went, you know, right away said to Leslie, my friend Tiffany, like, your daughter really impacted me. You know, and I was like, oh, love that. Like, I love that people – do that. It's important to say those things, not to keep it quiet. You know, say your name. That's one of the things we always say. Say their names. Don't skip saying their names. It's so important for the parents so they feel like their child mattered.
Yeah.
Because it can be pretty lonely, I think, if no one's saying their name.
Yes, I'm in agreement there.
And I mean, we talk about Kaylee all the time. Yes. Yeah. So. Wow.
And even when you're not here, Leslie, any show, any Fairy Godmother Project show, Kaylee is always going to come up. Yeah. FairyGodmotherProject.org is that, and we'll put on Facebook how people can get in touch and get to that website.
Awesome.
For for Kaylee Scholarship. Andy McConnell, Leslie Leahy, thank you so much.
Thank you
for being here. This has been hard, but it's been a good conversation. And thank you both for what you do in the community. Just terrific stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.